Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, freelancer, and curious question asker. Join me for half an hour each week while I sit down with inspiring photographers and pick their brains about growing their business, authentically connecting to their clients, and being a good human in this changing industry. If you're ready to take your photography hobby to the next level and turn it into an actual business, you're in the right place. If you want to hear real-life advice from professional photographers and start building the future of your dreams, don't go anywhere. Here we go. Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers. Today, I'm super excited because I have Anisa Dev, a micro-wedding and elopement photographer, on the show. She's based in Chicago and San Diego. Yep, you heard that right. She's based in the Midwest and on the West Coast. If you're wondering how the hell she manages that without cloning herself, stay tuned. This week, we're talking all about associate photography teams and how they can help you cultivate more freedom, expand your business, and offer more value to your clients. If you're listening to this and you're like, I'm not quite at that stage of my business yet, but you might be interested in gaining more experience by being an associate photographer, Anisa shares a ton of helpful tips on that too. We cover how to pitch to photographers you admire, what they might be looking for, and what you should know before you join up. Stay tuned. This is going to be a good one. I'd just like to start with the first question of, can you tell us about your first paid photo shoot? Like, how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah. So I'll kind of share a little bit about like how I even just got started in photography, but it actually kind of started with Instagram. I've always been like interested in taking Instagram pictures. And so my husband, then boyfriend, bought me a point and shoot camera. It was just a digital camera, and he got it for me my senior year in college because he knew how much I liked just taking photos on my phone and posting them. So that's how I got started and just like got a camera. And then later on, I bought myself a DSLR right after I graduated just to enjoy as a hobby. And I just like did photography just kind of for fun. And then I was like, you know, maybe it's time to like experiment with some paid shoots. I didn't really have like an Instagram for my photography, really. It was just, again, more of a hobby. So I wasn't sure like how to get paid. And so my husband was like, well, maybe you should put out like a Craigslist ad. I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So like I paid for a $5 Craigslist ad, which I've talked about before. It was like a little sketchy because I put my phone number on there, which you probably just shouldn't do, or should probably get like a Google phone number or something. But yeah, I ended up getting a couple clients from there, a couple birthday parties actually, and it went really well. Those were like just the first few shoots that I did that were paid. And then, yeah, from there, I just worked on building my portfolio and then growing like my social media and my Instagram so that I could market and get clients myself. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I got started.
And then I went full. I was just wondering about like how you built your portfolio. Did you sort of like organize your own like creative shoots and then start to put that up? Or did you put the birthday parties up?
Or No. So when I was doing the like Craigslist and birthday parties, that was when I was working at my marketing job. And then when my marketing job, it was contracted, when that came to an end, I had a lot of free time. So I did put out some like model calls on my Instagram. And my Instagram at that point was really just like some fun shoots that I did of my friends or that my husband took of me just to get my portfolio up. And then my husband and I did do some modeling. So I would put up photos that were taken of us with credit to the photographer, of course. So that was kind of like my portfolio as I was starting. And then, yeah, I would say that I was just doing a lot of marketing on Instagram with hashtags and things like that and joining Facebook groups and grew my portfolio that way. And things went on from there.
Wow. Okay. So your marketing background like definitely helped you sort of. Amazing.
Yeah.
What I really want to start getting into is like you do this amazing thing with like associate photography teams because you're based in Chicago and San Diego. And after you'd been shooting full time for a little while, you realized it was kind of time to start building out like, I guess, like a bigger team to support you in your business. How long had you been shooting before you realized that it was time? And like what led you to realizing this?
Yeah, I love this question. So it was less than a year to answer your question. I started my business in 2020, like at the start of 2020. And then I was able to go like full-time somewhere in August. It took me about 6-ish months. And then I ended up getting pregnant that November. And so when I got pregnant, I was like, okay, well, I've already been booking things. So that's when I just brought on not necessarily a team, but just a couple associates to cover for some destination. Like I had a wedding in California. I was living in Illinois at the time. And just to cover things like if it was really close to my due date or during my maternity leave. So that's really when like I started just thinking about associates. So I had that for a little bit. But then last April, so in 2022, my husband and I had just like this desire to travel across the US with our son. And we put all of our stuff in storage and we're like, let's just go and travel the country. And I knew that with doing that, I wouldn't be able to, like, it's just really hard to market for 1 month at a time. I was only in each location for 1 month. And it's just, that's so tough. Yeah. And so I wanted to continue shooting and continue that in Chicago because that's where my business is based. And so I knew that if I wanted to continue that, I would have to build out a team there. So that's really how that started. I'd say like I built my team in 2022 and it started off with one associate and then it grew to two. And then at one point I had three associates. So, and we'll kind of talk about that, but right now I have 2 to 3 there. And because now I'm in San Diego, I have 2 here as well.
So it was kind of like you just sort of started to bring people on board to sort of hold down the fort while you're gone. So you didn't want to like, because yeah, it would have been a massive thing to just give up your business because you were going away for a few months. So it was kind of like, so your business can kind of keep running without you. But you had only been in business for like a couple of years at that point. So I mean, I feel like that's like a really encouraging thing for people to hear because it seems like this is something that, I don't know, I feel like the common mindset around this is that you have to have been in business for a really long time. To approach this. So yeah, can you just like myth bust that for us?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say that the most important thing of like making sure is that you're like, you have an established business and business workflow. Because if you don't have your workflow figured out yet, then it's going to be really hard to bring someone or multiple people in to just add to that. So for me, like definitely in the beginning when I had just a couple associates filling in here and there, that wasn't like an actual team that I was building. That was just to kind of help me cover when I was pregnant towards the end of my pregnancy and my maternity leave. But during that, I was able to learn a lot about associates. And after a couple more, you know, months and years, that's when I felt really comfortable building my actual team, which is a lot more structured. And I have like a really good kind of workflow behind that. So I'd say that there's no like, you have to do this for a certain amount of years to be able to have an associate team. But I'd say just being established in your own business is really important.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, that makes total sense as well, because it's like, if you have a workflow, then it's easy to explain that workflow to someone else. But like, if you're kind of just like flying by the seat of your pants all the time, there's no way you can get someone in to fill in for that. Cause you just have to be holding their hand the whole time. telling them what to do. Yeah.
Or you're kind of like doing it. If you haven't kind of figured out your own workflow, then I feel like you're kind of figuring it out with someone and then you're not really taking the lead, if that makes sense. So absolutely. Yeah.
And this is kind of a little bit more on like the mindset personal side of things, but like you have to relinquish control, like if you're going to get other people to like shoot for you. And as a like sole trader, like contractor, someone that's sort of been their own boss, like a lot of people get into photography in the first place because it's kind of, you get to work for yourself, you get to be creative, you get to sort of be your own boss. And yeah, I guess giving up some of that creative control to other people, I imagine would be a challenge. How did you teach yourself to like relinquish control of your work to other people?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say like my answer to that would probably just be taking small steps at first. So for me, it was a really great transition kind of going from those kind of one-off sessions or weddings when I was on my maternity leave, just to kind of get a feel for what it's like. Like I said, I only had a couple sessions that here and there that needed an associate for. And then over time I introduced more. So that was really nice. And I was kind of able to figure out with trial and error, like what works for me and what I'm comfortable with. But for me, like, I think the biggest thing is that I can train my associates and talk with them and just interview them, like make sure that they're the right fit. And that really helps. I know we'll probably talk about kind of how I select my associates. So feeling really comfortable with who I've brought on really helps kind of relinquish some of that control. But then also I get to do all of the calling and editing. And that's really where I get to add my creativity. I know that people have, like some photographers do their associates seem differently, where they train their associates to call for them and edit for them. That's not what I do. Like I do all of the calling and editing, and I feel like I can really add in a personal touch there. Okay. So that's really helped as well.
Right. And I guess that makes sense as well. It's like in the instance you're talking about before on your trip, that's mm-hmm. something that you can kind of do from anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can call and edit while someone's like at your base, like taking the photos or going to the actual sessions.
Yeah.
So that still gives you the freedom that you want if you want to like travel and sort of step off the out from behind the camera every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our audience, I don't think, might be quite up to this stage where they're like thinking about like outsourcing the like photo taking part of their business. But if, say, for new photographers just starting out and they want to like work under the umbrella of someone else's brand or associate shoot for them, like, do you have any tips that you can share about how to like pitch to photographers they admire to be their associates?
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing, if you're reaching out to a photographer, I would recommend finding their email. DMs get lost a lot, and I get a lot of DMs like I really want to respond to, and then I think about it and then I forget about it. And it's not that I don't want to, it's just DMs can get lost and they're kind of messy and sometimes they get deleted and all of that stuff. So I would recommend an email. Usually photographers have their email either like on their Instagram or on their Facebook or on their website. So sending an email and then including like introducing yourself, including your location, maybe like a link to your portfolio or your website, what gear that you shoot with and what your experience level is. So you could say that, you know, maybe you're just starting off, but you're looking for associate work or second shooting work, or maybe you've had a couple years and some weddings under your belt and you want to get more into it. So just kind of sharing a little bit more about you and all of that.
Well, I imagine from your perspective, like, it's a bit of a balance to strike where you're kind of looking for someone with a bit of experience, mm-hmm. but then you also like want someone to be able to work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know that was something that I was actually thinking about, but yeah, with that. So I actually reach out a lot to associates. So half of my associates, I've actually reached out to myself, but when I do get just photographers who reach out to me, I really like to be able to see some of their portfolio and what their experience level is like, especially because, you know, they're going to be the lead. It's not just like, I feel like with second shooting, there's a lead photographer who will be there who can kind of guide and direct the way of the wedding. But with associate, like they have to be the lead. So I really do want someone who I look for photographers who have experience and are looking to add more to their calendar.
So you reach out to other photographers that you like and you offer them to like be your associate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So I have reached out to several photographers. I've also done like an Instagram like question box where I say like, oh, if you're looking to associate or I'm looking for an associate photographer in this location, like put your username or put your email if you're interested. So that's something. And that's actually how I found my associate that I've been working with the longest in Chicago. Someone actually recommended him to me. And yeah, and then we went from there. But yeah, so I'd say that I do look for photographers with experience, but so for me, like generally, I look for an experienced photographers who want to focus more on the actual shooting as opposed to marketing and such. So some of them actually have, some of my associates actually have like full-time jobs. And so they really just want to focus on the photography aspect and they don't want to deal with maybe the marketing or maybe they don't have time for all of the editing. So that's like a win-win that I can work with them and have the like photography work and they can still focus on their full-time job. Or I have some like associates who, again, want to focus on photography. It is their main job, but with photography, you have to do the marketing, the sales, yeah. the client communication, all of that. It's not just taking photos.
Yeah.
So that's a really, that's another win-win with them, is that I can kind of focus on the marketing from wherever I'm at behind the computer or my phone, and then they can focus on the photography aspect. But yeah, that's kind of how I manage that.
So if you want to build out an associate photography team, like you kind of have to want to also do the marketing and the like admin mm-hmm. and the culling and the editing. Well, I guess, as yeah. you said, like some people don't do that bit, but
mm-hmm. yeah,
right. definitely. Okay. Okay. Yep. Cool. That's a good sort of reality check, I think.
So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not necessarily less work. It's just like a different kind of work.
Yeah. I wouldn't say... It's exactly, it's different work. And some people ask, like, when do you know it's the right time for you to build out an associate team? And I will say, like, if you're overworked or burnt out, a lot of that can just be from shooting and whatnot and everything. And so, or you want like more personal time, or you want to travel like I'm doing. So that's it's just a different type of work. But yes, and that's why I said it's good to have your workflow figured out on your own, because you're still going to be doing all of the things. You're still going to be calling and communicating with clients and marketing and editing and delivering and all of that stuff. So it's good to have that established before building out a team.
Yeah. And considering that like you're doing kind of all of that stuff, and this is like, you don't have to give me like the exact numbers. How does that work out in terms of like figuring out how much to pay your associates and like how, mm-hmm. yeah, like is there a negotiation process when you bring someone on board, or are you just kind of like, this is what it is?
Yeah, I would say that I have like a general range that is pretty common, I think, are pretty standard in the photography industry. I've looked on Facebook groups and in Reddit forums and things like that of what's pretty standard for associate. I do always, just out of respect, ask when I'm on an interview like or a call what their range is for pricing. But that is something that we talk about beforehand. But I do have like a number that I like to stick to that, mm-hmm. like I said, is pretty standard. You know, also mindful of travel. And that's why I like to ask the questions on an interview, just like certain questions about location and stuff. And do they have a car and things like that? So I know what some of my expenses might be if I need to reimburse them for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's dig into a little bit more about like this interview. You know, when mm-hmm. you are trying to figure out if someone's the right fit for you, what are, aside from like, you know, do they have a car and like what their sort of ballpark figure might be, what are some other like must-have interview questions that you've incorporated into your process?
Yeah, definitely. So I do have an entire lesson in my associate guide on scouting associates and like all of the interview questions that I ask. But for generally what I'm looking for, this is why I mentioned gear, like I am looking for a Canon or mirrorless shooter, since that's what I shoot with. It's not a requirement, but it's definitely a preference. And I do require that my associates have lead wedding photography experience. I'd say that right now I'm definitely more like I do. It's not just weddings that I hire my associates out for. It's really even more so the smaller sessions, like an engagement session or a proposal or a family session, because I'm not there for any of that. So, and I think a lot of the other photographers out there who have their teams is really like for weddings, which I love that. I think for me, it's a little bit more unique because I'm just not physically present. So I do look for availability and talking about what that would look like. Like, can you show up on a Thursday morning at 7 a.m. and shoot a sunrise session for me? Yeah. So definitely talking about that. And who, like, of course, like portfolio, I love to look at or talk to someone who has a similar shooting style to me. So I'm very documentary style, candid. Traditional posing type of photographer probably wouldn't be the best fit. Mm. And then things like, just as a normal interview would be, I think about like, what's their communication like, professionalism. Like, I've had people before who had to reschedule calls with me or have been like 20 minutes late or something. And I know that life happens and I try to be realistic, but those are some things to look out for. I feel like every associate that I have now is very professional with me throughout the entire interview process and all of that. So that just made me feel more peace of mind that when we actually do work together, that they would carry that same level of professionalism.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. And mm-hmm. like, what about your, I don't know, I guess when people book you and like when people like find your website, so much of that is about who you are and like what your core values are. And I'm just curious about, like, do you think that your associates should have to like share these core values? And like, have you had to drill in yourself into being like, what are my core values? How do I find someone that matches that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My associates, I like to think of as them as an extension of me and my, like, my business. So they definitely need to share my core values, which are inclusivity, authenticity, creativity, vulnerability. And so, yeah, I kind of thought about my values. I did a rebrand last year and really thought about what I stand for and what my business stand for. And so I really do, like, those are kind of how some of my interview questions are phrased around my values and just making sure that we align in that. So yeah, that's definitely very, very important when seeking out an associate, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of like they're an expression of your brand. And yeah, like, not only like is the work that you deliver in the gallery at the end of the day, like, meant to be an expression of your brand, but like, it's like how they sort of show up on the day as well.
This podcast is brought to you by the Unscripted Posing app, the one-stop shop photography app for photographers looking to up their posing game, streamline their business, and look and feel like a professional. With Unscripted, you'll confidently rock every shoot, capture those emotion-filled images you've been craving, and create a fun photo shoot experience for everyone, including you. Join over 200,000 photographers and search Unscripted in your app store now.
Do you have like a dress code? Like, because I don't know, like, I feel like part of that like creative expression is like how you show up, how you presented. And yeah, do you talk to them about that? Or like, what's the training process like for them to be able to like show up in line with your brand?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All of that. My associates are representing my business and me when they show up. So I do have a dress code specifically for like weddings or elopements. I personally wear all black. I don't think you have to if you're a vendor, but that's just what I do. So I ask that for weddings and elopements that my associates wear, just kind of, you know, they blend in and they're not drawing any attention to themselves, just as I would do. But for like regular sessions, I just expect them to dress professionally as they would if shooting for themselves. So that's not really a conversation I've felt that I need to have. All of my clients almost every time come back to me and say they've had a wonderful experience. And I kind of let that speak for itself, that, you know, they're doing great and everything. Yeah. So once I determine that I'm a good fit for them and they're a good fit for me, then from there, we'll kind of do the setup process. And I have, like I said, all of that outlined in my guide. But what I personally do is I will either do an in-person mentorship or Zoom mentorship, just depending on where I'm at. If I'm not physically in the same city as them, then we'll do it on Zoom and we'll kind of go through camera settings, because everyone shoots kind of differently with white balance and underexposing, overexposing, all of that kind of stuff. So we'll talk through like how I prefer to shoot, and then like shooting styles. Like, again, maybe I'll share some of my favorite prompts or how I kind of direct. I don't want to take away from their craft, because I do seek them out for their art. But I do like to share like how I would typically do it and give that to them and let them do with it what they, you know, what they will. Yeah. I trust them. I've chosen them for a reason. So yeah, we'll kind of talk about shooting styles, directing, and then creative photography tricks. That's something that I really do implement into my business. So like motion blur, we'll talk about that. And most of my associates do have experience with motion blur, but if they don't, then that's something I can definitely walk through. Same with like lens filters. I'll kind of talk to them about what lens filters I use if they are interested in getting some for themselves, or maybe I purchase it for them, just some creative ones, but just things like that, that I do at my sessions that I can share with them to do as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And like at the end of the day, when they do take the photos, like, because they sort of take it under your brand umbrella, like, can they use the photos themselves on their Instagram, or like who owns a copyright for them?
Yeah, great question. So I own the copyright, but that's because I have a contract in place. So I get all of my contracts from the legal page and it covers me in there. I have, you know, I've purchased her associate clauses for like my client contracts, and then the ones for my independent contractors. So my associates are contractors. I just want to mention they're independent contractors. And I own the copyright of the images that they take. So for me, and the way that I structure it, they are allowed to share the images as long as they just specify that it was shot under my business. But the most important part there is that they share it after the final gallery has been delivered. I have it in there that, like, in my contract that they do not like interact with clients basically outside of the shoot. So they don't go and like follow them on Instagram or anything. But there have been times where clients are looking around for photographers and just so happen to follow the associate. So if an associate goes out and posts some photos from the shoot, not knowing that they're being followed by the client, I've had it where, you know, the client's like super eager and I'm not ready yet with their photo. So I just ask that they wait until the gallery has been fully delivered. And usually that's like, I say a minimum of 8 weeks, but if they want to reach out to me and be like, hey, have you delivered so-and-so gallery and it's done in 4 weeks, then I'll give them the all clear and they can go and do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there any other legal things to be aware of if you're like managing associate teams? Like, I know you said that like the legal page has given you certain clauses and stuff. Have you put anything else in there that like you weren't aware of before you were managing teams like this?
I would say just like, and the legal page has this, but just a non-compete clause is really important to have, just having something like that. Not that, you know, it would be intentional of taking clients, but sometimes clients get really comfortable with the photographer they're actually working with. So that just protects me and my relationship with my client. So having a non-compete is important for sure.
Can you speak more to that? I just don't know what that means.
Yeah. So like a non-compete. So they basically, I guess I don't know the like legal term or the legal jargon, but basically like from my understanding, they cannot go and book a session with that client after working with me, like get each other's contact information. I don't know like the full legalities of that. It's worded very well by page in my contract. So I feel secure in there, but
okay.
So it's just kind of like, they're not going to compete after my clients with me, if that makes sense. Like the ones that they've actually shot with. Okay. So if I did like an engagement session, they're not going to go off and shoot their wedding afterwards, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So it's like if you've sort of connected the client and like the associate, then they can't like independently go on and work together after. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. Yes, okay, exactly.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to ask about that because it seems like, that would be, I don't know. That's like a tricky conversation to have. That's like, it seems like that's just like a good thing to just have in the contract that both parties like agree that that's sort of part of the deal.
Yeah. Even just in like a kind of more common situation of like second shooting, I think a lot of lead photographers will also have, like I do, compete in just second shooting so that like a second shooter doesn't show up with a business card, say, hey, here, like bridesmaids, here you go. So it's just respect to not compete and then have that legal in your contract.
If you were sort of, say, rewind 5 to 10 years and you were sort of wanting to be an associate photographer, is there anything you now know that like you should be aware of before joining an associate team?
Oh gosh. That's a good question.
Like what advice, I guess, would you give yourself if you were about to be an associate photographer?
I feel like just being confident in your abilities to do the job. Like I think that sometimes, because it is kind of tricky, right? Like if you're looking for associate work, you're probably maybe early on in your business or you're still kind of figuring things out and just making sure that you can fulfill like your responsibility of shooting. Like if you've only shot, let's say, one wedding as a lead before, or maybe you've like just being transparent about that and just being honest. Cause there are a lot of photographers out there who will take someone who's maybe never shot a wedding before and kind of train them and mentor them and work with them. Maybe they're associating some smaller sessions at first and then they kind of build their way. So I would say that you can still definitely reach out to a photographer to associate for them, but just being transparent about your experience. And a lot of photographers do want associates like in the same city as them. Like they might just be fully booked, but they want to book more and they have time for editing, but they just don't have enough time for shooting, or they get double booked. So they want to train someone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not what I have done, but I think that if you're really looking for some, let's say you have like second shooting experience, but you haven't had lead photography photography experience and maybe you want some training, that would be a really great opportunity to reach out to some local photographers and ask if you can or be an associate photographer for them and maybe kind of work with them and train with them to build up to that point. Because a lot of photographers do that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Instead of just like faking it.
Yeah.
Like, shit, I'm late on this wedding that I know that I said I had experience, but I don't know where to stand. Like just kind of, yeah. Because I feel like that's a really good point. Like you are missing out on potentially being nurtured into the role if you kind of pretend that like you're more advanced than you are.
Yeah. I don't foresee people being like dishonest or anything, but I think sometimes like we overestimate or I don't know. When I was first starting, like for example, I wanted to second shoot, but because I started in 2020, all of my second shooting jobs got canceled with the pandemic. Yeah. And so I kind of had to go into these weddings, these backyard weddings that I had with unfortunately no experience other than those weddings. And I just, for me, I was really nervous. Like, do I be honest with the clients? You know, hey, this is kind of one of my first weddings. I mean, I priced accordingly, but still, I just think that transparency is really important. Not to say that anyone's going to be dishonest, but just being transparent with your experience, because I'm sure that people are so excited and want an opportunity like that. But just being honest with yourself and with the photographer that you want to work with.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And what about like sort of your process of like honesty and transparency in terms of, you know, clients that like arrive on your website, they originally want to book you and then you're like, I'm not around, but here's an associate that like you can book with. How, I guess, what's the process of sort of bringing clients around to the idea of like not working with you directly, but like working with one of your associates?
The way that I market kind of my associate team. So, well, first of all, I did want to mention that this is like, I have a whole lesson on marketing and how to kind of pitch, I guess you could say, associate teams in my associate guide. But basically, I'm very transparent about it. So on social media, like you could do a formal announcement, which is what I did back when I was like pregnant, like, oh, I have this associate photographer who's going to be covering some of my sessions when I'm on my maternity leave. So you could do more of a formal announcement. I know a lot of photographers who have associate teams have like an entire website with their associates' names and faces and information all about them. And I love that. I don't actually have that just because we're not all in the same state and I'm kind of bouncing around. But as far as like kind of pitching, I guess you could say to them, like I have an initial email. So I have a template on that, exactly what I include in my initial email to the clients to kind of explain it. And then I get all of my clients on the phone. Doesn't matter if it's an associate or just a session with me. I love to get everyone on the phone. And so then on the phone, I'll really kind of explain it more. It's so much easier, I think, to talk about it over the phone and just share what that's like. And one of my selling points is that my associate sessions are discounted. I don't know how other people work that out or what the percentage is. So I don't know if this is, I do 25% off. So that's just how I do it. I really actually don't know what the standard is or what other photographers do, but my associate sessions are 25% discounted from my sessions. And so, yeah, that's kind of like a selling point that I'll include in there. And then I'll let them see what the gallery like would kind of look like, just a sample portfolio so they can really take a look at that. And then I'll do a follow-up email, which I also have a template for in my guide, just kind of explaining everything, including all of that so that they feel comfortable. I want my clients to feel like 100% comfortable, 110% comfortable with my associate team. And I would never have an associate that I didn't feel comfortable with myself. So I really just try to stress that to my clients.
Yeah. So your clients might not even necessarily know that like you have associates when they're reaching out to you. It's like you introduce like the concept of associates like in that sort of first email, and then you jump on the phone and you sort of explain it all to them. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. And that's an interesting that you actually said that out loud, because I'm like, oh, maybe it would be good to have a page on associates on my website. I will say, though, that like the sessions that I do post on my Instagram, if they're taken by an associate, I do specify under like in the caption, you'll see it'll be like photo taken by associate, and then I'll include their name in there. They could see that and just kind of be like, oh, curious, like maybe not sure what an associate is. But yeah, that's kind of just the way I've done it. Yeah. So I think there's so many different ways to do it too. But
Totally. Mm-hmm. What's the sort of, when you decided that you wanted to start having associates, was it that like this sort of a job came in, you happened to like not be around to do it. So mm-hmm. then you contracted, or did you set that all up? And then that was like ready so that like when you did have a booking roll in, like you could just pass that on. It's kind of like a chicken or the egg kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great question. So I hope I'll answer it, but like kind of how I structured it at first was I found out I was pregnant. I had booked some things in the future that I couldn't fulfill because I knew it was right around my due date. So that's when I reached out to a couple people that I knew that I trusted. I didn't have like maybe like a formal process, but I've worked with them in the past, like personally. I either had them shoot together with me or actually shot me and my husband because we did do some couple modeling back then. So I felt really comfortable with that. It wasn't anything super structured, but it was because initially when I brought on like my first associates because I kind of had to. And then I was at that point really familiar with how that worked. And we kind of went through some of those, I wouldn't say struggles, but just figure out how to send the photos and, you know, contracts and all of that stuff. I kind of figured out those details. So then when last year my husband and I were talking about traveling and we were kind of talking about what would that look like for my business, that's when the idea came up that I can actually form a more structured team. And that's when I was like really looking for associates and explaining to them what I'm looking for. Like, it's not just for a session here and there or a wedding. It's like, I'm looking for someone who anytime I get an inquiry, I'm going to be reaching out to you to see if you're available to fulfill that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And that kind of leads me to my next question where it's like, what's the actual client communication workflow around that? Because like you get an inquiry, then you kind of contact your associate. But like, is there ever a point where you hand over the communication to your associate so that like the client and the associate can begin to like build a relationship before the session?
That's a really great question. And so I'll share what I do. I'm not saying it's like the right way to do it. It's been a year, like a year and a half of me with my team, and I'm still learning. But I'll say for me, so it's usually all me as far as the communication goes. So I help them with their timeline, the styling, location recommendations, vision board, and mostly because like I want to be there. Not that I don't want them to have that connection with the associate photographer, but like that's kind of where I add my value and and my expertise. So we talk, like we create a Pinterest board together. I'll get on the phone with them and talk through their timeline, all of that. If a client specifically requests, like I've had it occasionally where they'll request to get on the phone with the associate, I always respect that. And my associates also respect that, which I really appreciate to take the time out to do that. So we'll have like a joint three-way call or a four-way call if it's a couple. But yeah, so typically it's just me though, because I don't want to put like too much on the associate if I don't have to beforehand, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I do. And then I only share each other's contact information like with them the day before the shoot, unless it's a wedding. That's usually like the week of, I'll share that. I'm always there. Like I'll still share my contact information. So if they need anything, they can contact me if it's like an emergency, but also the associate. And then the day of, they typically always just communicate between them two. Yeah. Sometimes I'm involved if there are any hiccups or anything like that, which doesn't usually happen, or if they're not sure who to contact, but it's typically from there, always with my associates. And then after that point, I mean, from my knowledge, I don't think that they communicate outside of that. So yeah, that's kind of how I handle the client communication beforehand.
That makes sense. You mentioned like that you kind of try and stay available if there's an emergency. Like, has there been an instance where like someone hasn't shown up on the day or like what have you? Yeah, like that just gives you so much anxiety thinking about
yeah,
what might happen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, okay. So I haven't had any issues with like an associate. Thank goodness. Like I said, I really am very thorough with my interview process. And I mean, emergencies happen and that's what I'm there for. I've never had something like that on the day of, but it does happen and it's okay if it happens. I mean, things happen. We're human. So that's why I always recommend having at least two associates in one area, ideally two to three even. That way I can kind of fall back. And I always have some people in mind that maybe aren't a part of my associate team, but that I would feel comfortable reaching out to them to associate in an emergency. And they would do the same with me too. Yeah. If that happened. So yeah, so I always have that, but you know, things happen. For weddings, that has never happened to me. I knock on wood, it doesn't ever happen. But I have had like a situation where an associate was contracted to shoot a wedding for me, or I don't know, maybe it was a session. And then she found something for herself that was better. And that was like way early on. And I learned a lot from that experience, that that's something I do communicate with in advance. It's one of my questions. Like, if you got something, I don't want to say better, but just got something that maybe paid more for yourself or something like that, that you wouldn't leave me in a moment like that. Like, you're committed to me. Once you sign that contract, that I want to know that you're committed. And I just have to take my associate's word for that. Yeah. Sign a contract and everything. Yeah. I've done everything at that point to avoid a situation like that from happening. And what I do now to really avoid something like that is I'll ask them like, hey, we have a shared Google calendar. Like, if there are any dates that you want to hold for yourself, like a popular date in September or October, we all know that they exist. Please, like, just put in there that you want that date. And if at some point you want to put that back on the table, just let me know. But I want my associates to book for themselves and have that option.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of how I've avoided a situation like that. It's never happened. And that was like way back in the day when I didn't have like a team that I built out, something that I've learned.
Yeah. Hopefully nothing else comes up. I feel like
I know.
It seems like you've got all of your bases covered. Like,
yeah, in terms I try.
Of like legalities and like just the process, like even just managing the idea of managing everyone's schedules in like two different states and like two different time zones. It's just a lot to, mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Like, the time zones is a big one for sure. Cause I'm like, in my Google calendar, I have to put in, okay, this is CST or this is PST. Yeah. And I have to remember, oh wait, it's going to be in this date and my associate is actually going to be here. And it's actually EST or something if it's like a traveling. So definitely a lot to manage. I'd say that having an associate team is not necessarily for everyone. I would really, really say that being organized should be a quality that like you're good at, and good communication too, because I'm constantly sending contracts like I have certain associates want to be texted, certain associates want to be emailed. So I just have to make sure that like I respect everyone's boundaries with that, and just making sure that the communication flows and it's all good. So
yeah. What are some exciting things that like your whole like photography business is sort of moving towards this year?
So right now I'm really focusing a lot of my time on Anisa D Exclusive, which is my subscription that I made for photographers and other creative entrepreneurs. So it's basically just a little private account that I have on Instagram, and we have like a little community, and on there I'm just sharing lots of like business tips and photography tips, Q&As, webinars, all of that kind of fun stuff. It's just been really fun. I've been doing it for almost, I think it's been half a month, so it's pretty new. And yeah, I've just really been excited about building that community up, and we're doing like a little marketing challenge right now. So it's the perfect time to join if anyone's interested.
Cool. And how do people join up?
It's just a sign up link. I can share it with you. And then once you sign up, I'll send all of the steps on getting approved into the account.
Amazing. Well, I will share that in the show notes. Thank you awesome. So much for joining us today. It's been such a I feel like it's been such a beefy chat, and like, I really appreciate how generous you've been, and also how honest and humble you've been about like, you're still kind of new, but there's so much that you've figured out in such a short amount of time. So thank you for sharing all of that hard-won information with us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I so appreciate you having me on. I love talking about it, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast. Thank you.
For a lot of us independent contractors out there, the idea of joining a team could offer a bit of a break from the hamster wheel of marketing/shooting/calling/editing/ all the other hats we have to wear as photographers. But being on a photography team, or even having a photography team, it isn't for everyone. Regardless of the path you take, here are some important tips to consider when making your decision. If you want to build a photography team, you need an established business and business workflow in order, so it's easy for you to figure out how to work in associate photographers into the process. You need to be prepared to manage people and to get extra organized with communication and scheduling. Remember that it's okay to take small steps towards building a team. In fact, it's probably preferable. So start by engaging one or two other photographers and go from there. Reach out to other photographers you admire and ask them if they'd like to join your team. If you want to join a photography team, research different photographers you think you could learn from and send them a pitch via email introducing yourself. Remember to include what kind of gear you shoot on, where you are, your experience level, and a link to your website. Don't be afraid to be really honest about your experience. A lot of photographers are willing to nurture you into the role so you feel more comfortable doing the job. Another thing that I'd suggest is just to go through the contracts you receive with a fine-tooth comb. And this applies for everything, but especially if you are wanting to be an associate photographer, you just want to make sure that you're not accidentally stepping on any toes and you feel comfortable with what they're asking of you. If after this episode you still want to learn more about growing an associate team or joining an associate team, the guide that Anisa referenced throughout this episode is linked in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.